Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Good Monday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. South Korea and China have agreed to sign a free trade deal that will remove tariffs on more than 90% of goods over two decades. South Korea's rice industry will not be included in the trade deal. China and South Korea began the trade negotiations in May of 2012. Two-way trade between China and South Korea was $229 billion in 2013. Meanwhile, President Barack Obama pressed world leaders this morning to break log jams that have held up an agreement on a trans-Pacific trade deal. Ahead of the president's arrival in China, U.S. officials had downplayed the prospect that a deal would be reached during the president's eight-day, three-nation trip to the region. USDA will post a notice in the Federal Register today asking for public comments on creating a new beef checkoff. Producers or others will have until December the 10th to submit comments on the proposal for a beef checkoff program that would operate in addition to the current checkoff program. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 17,511. It's up 10 points. The NASDAQ 4156 up 6. The S&P 500 is 2028, and it is up 2 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
The focus of weather attention today in the Midwest will be on upper portions of the region where a raging winter storm is likely to cause serious travel delays from portions of South Dakota into Wisconsin. This storm system is occurring in response of an Arctic air mass that is dropping unseasonably early across Canada and into portions of the U.S. Northern Plains and upper Midwest. The majority of the precipitation that's going to be occurring today will be focused on the areas I mentioned, with most other areas in the Midwest not likely to see a significant amount of precipitation, and because of that, harvest progress will likely advance. There will be quite a temperature contrast across the Midwest today and probably tomorrow as well. The afternoon highs today will run in the 60s across many areas from Illinois to southern Ohio and southward to the Ohio River, and we'll see a few lower 70s in eastern Kansas and parts of west central Missouri. In contrast, though, temperatures this afternoon will only be in the 20s across Minnesota and the eastern Dakotas, with some locations slipping into the teens. We're expecting to see that snow event taking place across that region, which will hold those temperatures down. As we go through the day tomorrow, we're expecting to see the teens and 20s expand a bit across the northwestern Corn Belt, while the temperatures over 60 degrees will be mostly concentrated on the area from portions of Ohio into Kentucky, and will likely see many other areas in the Midwest experience temperatures that will cool into the 40s and 50s. As we move on into the latter part of this week and close to the weekend, we're probably going to see the afternoon temperatures in the Midwest confined to the 20s and 30s, and we'll expect to see the low temperatures at night running mostly teens and 20s. That will not be quite as extreme as that which will occur out to the west, where we're expecting to see some single digits, both positive and negative, in the High Plains region from Colorado to Montana. Temperatures will fall below zero out that way, causing some stress to livestock and threatening some wheat that's not protected from the cold by snow, but we don't expect any such conditions to occur in the Midwest. The air mass will moderate as it comes into the region, but we will see those teens and 20s occurring in many areas as we finish out the work week, with single-digit readings likely in Minnesota, the Dakotas, and maybe portions of northwestern Iowa and Wisconsin. As we move in towards the latter part of the week, and early next week, a short-term bout of warming may take place, but there's going to be a reinforcing shot of cool air that will come on next week that will likely see to it that we see one more wave of rather chilly conditions. This time it might be more focused on the heart of the Midwest. Precipitation across the region is expected to be restricted for a while. I don't anticipate anything more than some light amounts of rainfall to occur as the coldest air first starts to move across the region. This will include areas from parts of Missouri to Illinois initially as we go through the night tonight, and the band of showers will move very quickly to the east during the day tomorrow, passing through the rest of Illinois, parts of Indiana, Michigan, and parts of Ohio, as well as Kentucky. Moisture totals will not be much more than a couple tenths of an inch in most cases. There will be a little bit of snow that will fall in Iowa, maybe a few locations in portions of northwestern Illinois and parts of western and northern Michigan, but significant snow accumulations like that in the upper Midwest today are certainly not likely to take place. The next precipitation of significance for the region will hold off until we get into next week, and at that point there may be a significant storm system evolving as the temperatures moderate somewhat shortly before the next surge of colder air comes southward out of Canada. We'll wait until we get closer to that event before we start predicting moisture totals. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey, with strategy planning for future generations to fit individual needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Buy your tickets today for our first ever WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference. It's November the 24th at the Marriott Hotel on the Illinois State University campus in Normal, Illinois. In addition to our great marketing panels on corn, cash grain, and soybeans, we've got keynotes on crop insurance, including the ARCPLC decision and farmland values. The cost is $25 and includes lunch and parking in the hotel parking garage. Get your tickets now at 800-898-1065 or on our secure website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter December wheat, 572 and three quarters, up 3.5. Soft December wheat, 519 and a half, up 5. December corn, 370 and a half, up 3. March, 383 and a half, up 3. July, 399 and a half, up 3.25. November soybeans, 1050, up 9 and three quarters. January, 1046 and a quarter, up 9.5. Go out to July at 10.58 and a half, up 10.25. December soybean meal, 3.94, up 3.60. December soybean oil, 32.69, up 29. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry at Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you this morning.
It's USDA reporting day, and I am beginning to come around to the idea that USDA is underestimating global protein demand.
You know, it very well could. You know, we've seen a resurgence in the Chinese demand. We saw fantastic meal shippings last week. It's indeed a possibility, but it's probably too soon to tell. What I'd really like to see in that regard is see what the January numbers look for and the annual disappearance, because when you try to pick a number midstream, invariably you're going to get, you know, just some disparity or some numbers that aren't exactly on schedule with each other, and it causes a little bit of a misguided number.
Would USDA, in some combination of demand and or production, lower ending stocks for soybean or soybean meal production today?
You know, I doubt it. I think realistically the things that we're trying to dial in right now is the real field numbers for production this year versus the expectations coming into the last report and then this report. You know, anecdotally, we've been expecting, you know, really good yields. Some people were even talking a national average yield in beans as high as 50. You know, based on what we've seen from the producer side of the equation, the numbers have kind of tapered off a little bit as we wind through the end of harvest. We should be basically 87 and 90% done in this afternoon's numbers. But as we get to the conclusion of harvest season, we think that the yields have probably tapered off. So it's not enough to maybe make a reduction in production, but it may not be the big production figures that we've seen coming into today. As far as the meal is concerned, like I say, with last week's shipments numbers, I think that that's huge. The crushers have basically got a little bit of a bean supply now. They've started to ramp production back up, and maybe we're going to satisfy some stuff. But right this minute, to pick a number and say, yeah, we've underestimated our demand base, it's probably too soon to tell, but we are cautiously optimistic that demand will improve going forward.
Speaking of tapering off, the further west and north you go, because it was wet for a big part of the summer. There wasn't a much sunshine, mm-hmm. growing degree days and like. There are now producers up there that are poo-pooing the rhetoric that the crop was really big and maybe even last year was a bigger crop.
You know, it's indeed a possibility, especially for those guys. You know, what we've seen right now is, you know, that harvest process, we're only going to be, I think, based on the number, 78 to 80% done in corn this afternoon. Thankfully, most of the corn is not going to be affected by the snowstorms that are going across the northern areas today and tomorrow and the next day. But realistically, it's indeed a possibility that the production estimates might have been a little bit more optimistic early on. And as we get to the end of harvest, we're going to get a lot better feel for what reality is. And I think we've talked about this over the last several weeks, is the USDA did bump up yield projections in the last report, mm-hmm. enough that you probably cannot assume that one bushel per month increase going forward. If mm-hmm. we get a half a bushel or less increase in yield for corn today, I think the trade will view that optimistically or price positive.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. December corn, 371, up 3.5. November beans, 1049 3/4, up 9.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.